堂听 class.com。
Hello, and welcome once again to Say It Again. My name is Ruth, and with me this week I have Grace. Grace told us that she was born in Shanghai, but for the last 30 or so years has lived here in Britain. Grace was with us a few weeks ago telling us about York Minster. What place have you come to talk to us about today?
Well, I've changed cities and moved south from York down to London, and I have chosen the Tower of London as my topic for this programme. Ruth, have you ever been to the Tower of London?
Yes, I did visit it once when I was a very young child. The first part of the Tower of London was built in 1078. It's a place full of English history. Grace, could you tell me the names of some of the famous people of the past who have lived in the Tower of London?
Yes, I could. If you're very good at English history, then it would mean something to you. A number of our kings have lived in the palace, and Edward IV was there. Edward V became king there. Henry VIII had two wives that were crowned there and eventually executed there. Sir Walter Raleigh is a name that might be more familiar. He was there too, on two occasions.
So why is there a tower in London in the first place?
Well, it was built by William the Conqueror, who came to England in 1066. And he actually won the war at Hastings on the south coast. But London was the capital, so to gain a place in London, he had to do something about it. And he had the tower, the castle, the palace built on the edge of the River Thames. And that has always been the fortress. It's part of the city of London.
So you've suggested in what you've said that it isn't just a tower. There are actually other buildings on the site. What other buildings are there?
There are several towers around the main tower. There's a big square construction which is known as the Tower of London. But round the grounds there are walls, and at several intervals around the walls are smaller towers. And as I said, it was built on the side of the Thames, and there's a traitor's gate, an entrance to the tower, actually from river level.
So what was this gate onto the river used for?
Well, there would be times when, against the authorities, there would be a revolt and somebody who's betrayed the country, given them into the hands of the enemy. And when the English or the London officers got hold of them, they would bring them upriver on a boat and they would enter through the traitor's gate. They didn't use the gateway on the road in case of other folks trying to stop them. So they brought them up by boat and through the traitor's gate into their prison.
So this main tower in the centre, has that been used as just a home over the centuries, or was there another purpose for it?
Well, it was built in 1078 or thereabouts, and until about the 16th century it was actually a palace. And then it became a prison, and gradually the kings or the royal family who lived in the palace of the tower withdrew and moved into other homes. And then the tower actually became a prison, and it had its own sentries and so on, its own guards.
And I believe this king, Henry VIII, he seemed to have a liking for changing his wives, and I believe some of his wives were actually imprisoned in this tower.
That's right. He had several wives, and his second wife was Anne Boleyn. She was crowned there in 1533, but she was executed in 1536. I don't know why she fell out of favour with her husband. And then three wives later on, he married Catherine Howard, and the same thing happened to her.
Nowadays, I believe the buildings aren't actually used as a prison anymore, but rather they are a tourist attraction.
That's right. Although we still have a saying among certain circles, if you don't behave, you'll be sent to the tower. Well, that's the reason why we say that. But it is really a tourist attraction, basically, now.
I certainly remember as a child, one of the things that struck me most was seeing a large number of men in very, very bright red coats and hats. I wonder if you could tell me who they were.
They are officially known as the Yeomen of the Guard, commonly known as beef eaters. It doesn't mean that they just eat beef, but it's a name that, or a pet name that has come from France, probably because of William the Conqueror being from Normandy in France. And the literal translation is the guardians of the king's buffet, the king's food. So they would test the king's food first, and if there's anything wrong with it, then the king didn't get eating it, and they suffered the illness or whatever. But that is why we have the name beef eaters. And actually, the hats are black with little red and white roses dotted round the crown, and it's a very colourful spectacle indeed.
And the other thing I remember is lots of black birds around the grounds, and they seemed to be very important. They weren't just the small birds that you would expect to have in England in the open countryside. They were big, imposing birds. Do you know anything about them?
They are called ravens, and there's a superstition that when the ravens are no longer at the Tower of London, then the city of London will fall to its foes. So if you're superstitious and you believe in good luck or bad luck, then the ravens are important.
And am I right in thinking they actually have done something to the birds to make sure they do never leave?
I think they have, but I'm not quite sure what, whether they've clipped their wings or done something like that.
And there is something else housed at the Tower of London, as well as these birds and these beef eaters, which is of great importance to our nation, and that's a collection of jewellery. Can you tell me who that jewellery belongs to?
That jewellery actually belongs to the state, the government, but it's worn by the royal family. And it houses things like the Queen's crown, the Queen Victoria's crown, the orb, the mace, the sceptre, all the things that are used in regalia for things like coronations and opening of Parliament. But they're priceless jewels, and so they're kept in very special conditions.
When I was a child, you had to queue for hours and hours to see these jewels, but I believe recently that it's been made easier for people to go and see them.
That's right. If you've only got a short time at the Tower, there's no sense in queuing up to see the crown jewels. But as you say, they've rehoused them, and instead of us taking our own time to look at them, there's a moving platform, so everybody has an equal amount of time, and they're more visible. I haven't been to see them in the new setting, but I think it's much, much easier and much more exciting to be able to see them.
And there's also a bridge nearby that's known as the Tower Bridge, and I believe that has a special feature that helps boats to go along the river.
That's right. The bridge crosses the River Thames. It's right beside the tower itself. It's known as the Tower Bridge. And the bridge opens in the middle, and it can be raised so that tall ships can go through without any problem. And then when the shipping is finished and the bridge is lowered and the motor traffic crosses again. But you can actually go downstairs and see all the mechanics for this. And I've taken a group of children to see that. It's very interesting too.
So there's some more information about another interesting place in Britain. We'll be hearing more from Grace in a few weeks' time. When she returns, she'll tell us about another place of interest. One thing that always interests me are the true life stories we hear each week. It is good to hear how people who often feel that life holds no future for them find a new life in God. Here is Neil reading Kida Tikoivanalevu's story. He became very sick through drinking alcohol. He was sent to prison and he felt that life held nothing else for him. That was until one day in the prison he had a visitor.
My father's words were all that I could remember. Get out of my sight. I don't ever want to see you again. You've brought too much shame on our house. As I lay underneath the bridge on my concrete bed, sheltering from the wind and rain, I thought of what had become of my life. Sometimes I'd have no food for days. My life was full of trouble. I had few friends, but they were of no help to me. I became very sick through drinking so much alcohol. All I ever did was get into trouble with the police. I was sent to prison a number of times. I even managed to escape from prison, but as soon as I was caught again, the police made my next sentence harder and longer. I was in total despair. One day, the prison guard came and told me of a visitor who was asking for me. I didn't know anybody, at least nobody who cared enough to visit. Here were friends of a street sleeper I knew. He'd become a believer in the living God and asked his new Christian friends to come and visit me. "We want to help you to become a new man," they said. I wanted this so much. I began to go to the Christian meetings held in the prison. As I listened, I began to understand who my real enemy was. I realized I was listening to my selfish desires, and they were what led me into trouble. I learned through listening to these people that God would take away my old wrong desires. In their place, he'd give me his Holy Spirit, so that I could say no to the wrong things. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for me. These were the new words that were going around in my head. Someone loved me and cared for me. This changed my life.
Isn't it amazing how God changed Keda's life? Next week, I'll have Aries back here with me. It's almost time for me to go now. I hope you enjoyed your tour around the Tower of London. Until next week, then, goodbye.